Hello and welcome to Ordinary, a podcast that aims to help Christians live for Christ in everyday life. My name is Josh Bannister, and each week I'm joined by Graham Nichols and Mark Bentham, both pastors of Christ Church, Haywards Heath. Today's episode is all about retirement. Is retirement a biblical concept? Do we see retirement as the end of working life, the time to kick back and relax for the rest of our lives, or the start of a new vocation? And how can those who are retired use their time in a productive, kingdom-focused way? Enjoy the podcast, and I'll catch you on the other side.
Hi, I'm Mark Bentham.
And I'm Graham Nichols, and I always seem to be going second.
And I'm Josh Bannister, and you're listening to Ordinary. Welcome back to the podcast. This is a podcast all about retirement, because Graham's getting close and he wanted to get it straight before he could...
Very good, Josh.
Oh, I love that.
We're all close-ish.
Yeah, some of us are closer.
Yeah.
It's all relative. Retirement, it's, I guess, something that I haven't thought too much about, but hopefully you guys are going to have all kinds of wisdom.
All kinds of wisdom.
Well, we could do a really boring podcast on how you have to make provision for your retirement in pension plans.
Yes.
And you know, different kinds of pension plans you can have. And that would be really interesting.
Well, it could be interesting for some.
It could be. And we definitely think as Christians you should make good provision, but that's not what we're going to talk about today.
No.
What are we going to talk about?
Retirement.
Why?
Why is retirement and where did it come from? Because I'm not sure it's a biblical idea, is it, retirement?
Ooh.
I don't think you see it in the Bible, but it's established. Why you were saying something off air, Graham, that you wanted to, you know, talk about the post-industrial revolution that you remember.
Just because I know the odd couple of things, it's like I'm a nerd, but I'm not.
Hey, Graham, come on. Can you just twist your mic towards you a little bit?
I can.
Just angle. That's much better.
I'll move
that's
myself.
Real live podcasting.
Yeah. I think.
Why is retirement coming about? Let's talk about that, because, as you rightly say, it's not in the Bible. We'll think about that a little bit.
I think it's both not in the Bible, but also culturally or historically, it's kind of appeared sort of post the Industrial Revolution, in the sense that before then you got agricultural societies. So sure, people have always got old. But generally, there wasn't a
not
moment.
As old as now, though, eh?
Well, and that's true as well. But also, there wasn't that kind of moment where one day you're working and then you collect your kind of last salary and you're retired. Because you're, you know, working on the land or in some other sort of practical job, you just kept working and working and working. And obviously, you did less and less as you got older. And if it was this kind of a family business, you might sort of take a backseat role. But it wasn't such a digital, you're working, you're not working thing. It was more gradual. And even my grandfather, which is obviously not that long ago, he worked on a farm. And I remember him kind of taking more of a backseat. So my dad and my uncle were doing more on the farm. But my granddad was still working there. And I remember, I think it was like 10 days before he died, he was still working and doing jobs on the farm. And, to be fair, he had a heart attack, but it was a reasonable age. He was 77, I think.
Was he working there because of necessity, or was it because actually he just loved farming and
he loved farming. I think, and it wasn't necessity either. I think it was just, he just thought that's what you do.
Right.
You don't have you don't fall off a cliff and stop completely. You still sort of get involved. Now, it's partly because it was a family business. But I think culturally, that was more the model that he perhaps would have seen in his own life. Although, to be fair, his father retired, as it were, very early. But that's because he made loads of money selling bread. I think that's just what he would have expected to do. So I think culturally, it's come about as a very digital thing, as a very definite thing, where you're working and retired. And I think it's because we often define ourselves by our jobs. So retirement then becomes a big deal because you've no longer got this massive definition of your life anymore. We were interviewing an airline pilot recently. So you're an airline pilot. And then what are you when you retire? You're not an airline pilot anymore. You're just this retired person. So I think it is a thing.
Well, and it is. It's also, it's becoming, I guess, in an increasingly godless society, it's becoming the new kind of, this is the heaven on earth experience. So there seems to be a sense of a culture where you work hard, work hard, work hard, and then you're saving up and you're looking forward to those times when you can just do all the things that you haven't been able to do when you've been working. So you can now go on that cruise. You can go and visit those countries. You can hang out with the grandkids. You can, you know, just take time for yourself. You take up this hobby and that hobby. So it seems like it's there seems to be a sense of, well, it's that rest. It's that kind of hope. It becomes something more than just I'm not working. It's become a big part of one's expectations for life.
Yeah.
And actually, you see it. I think we see, you know, when the sadness of stories where people have just retired and then someone, you know, the partner dies suddenly, and suddenly you're left grieving with this, you know, 20, 30 years potentially of a retirement that you never envisaged. You just didn't expect it this way, your dreams and all of this. And I think that's where it becomes really quite hard. So how, as Christians, are we to think of retirement? You know, how do we use retirement well for the glory of God?
Yeah, no, we will talk about that. Just one other little bit of cultural analysis, teeny bit, is that I think there's a change happened the last 10 years that, although it still is a God and a goal like you were just describing, there is much more opportunity now to gradually move into retirement.
Yeah.
So there is a kind of a move back to what I was describing in terms of agricultural societies, where in some jobs at least you can sort of partially retire. And there's quite a lot of people that do early retired and then do another job. So there's more of that going on. And because of the internet and various other things, there's more opportunities for people to kind of do stuff, to work from home, to kind of change and to graduate out of working life rather than for it to be a definite thing.
And there are some, you know, and let's face it, people are living longer. So, you know, and people are therefore got longer life expectancy. Yeah. So therefore, which is the big argument at the moment, isn't it? You know, to raise the pension level to higher to reflect the
pension age.
So you've got those factors. But I think another pressing one is also childcare. So actually lots of those coming up to retirement age are then retiring in order to provide childcare for their grandchildren, in order to kind of help the kids be able to work fully, to be able to provide for their, you know, pay the mortgage.
Are you sure you're not doing a bit of cultural analysis there as well?
Ooh, check me out. First time for everything. So I think you've got all of those factors playing in. And of course, those factors then coming into the church. And this is where we need to realign ourselves biblically rather than just kind of embrace how the world views retirement.
So roughly speaking, retired people are generally old people.
That is generally the picture.
At least older. Old enough to stop doing some of the things they were doing. So what's the Bible think about older people? What do you think about older people, Josh? Because you're a younger person.
That's such a broad question. What I think about older people.
When you look at older people, do you think they're hilarious? They're a whole other world. You couldn't imagine ever being one.
In other words, what do you think when you look at Graham?
That's the second difficult joke.
I don't know. I think, I guess I probably don't interact with older people enough to form a really solid opinion, and that's probably to my own detriment. I think I look at older people and for the most part respect them and their experiences and their wisdom on life, and often would ask advice to older people in my family, from older people in my family, and talk to them about their experiences. I guess there is, okay, so the disconnect that there is for the youth is that you just speak such different languages.
Yeah.
And I think that perhaps has happened, obviously it's happened through all generations, but perhaps is accentuated in the kind of digital age where there's just a different language for millennials and young people than there is for our kind of grandparents' age bracket, where they just can't relate to some of the issues or to what it's like to live in this culture now, to go to school now, to go to university now, to start working now, to try and buy a house now. Yeah. It just feels so different that sometimes their experience don't seem to map onto what our experiences are too well.
Yeah,
I guess that's one thing that's one thing I've noticed.
Yeah.
Not to say that those things aren't valid and that you can't get wisdom from them, but it, you know, that's just part of
interesting technology. Fact. The first person in the church, we have a playlist for some of the 100 songs that we sing in church, top 100.
Yeah.
And the first person in the a church meeting that talked to me about it was in their 70s.
Oh,
he
wow.
said, this fantastic Spotify playlist you did. Whose idea was that?
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it. So I took a double take and said, and I don't know, I mentioned who had the idea and said, so you have a Spotify, and I said it like this with this kind of hesitation. You have a Spotify playlist, do you? She said, yeah, I have Spotify, I use Spotify all the time.
Yeah. So that's probably naive from me even, to categorise everyone like that, because it's probably not true.
But I think what you're revealing is what I think lots think. And I think there is, what you're saying is right on one level. There is a situational difference, but actually the heart issues remain the same.
Yeah.
So the heart struggles that kind of sit behind many of those situations we face are the same heart struggles that those in their 70s and 80s found, but in a kind of slightly different situation. So the events around may change, but the actual heart wrestles of working it through and how one engages biblically with it actually has remained the same. And that's where you're trying to recognizing the wisdom of age actually plays out. And I think that's where the Bible esteems older people as having that, you know, with the sense of wisdom, the sense of glory, the sense of the honour that comes with old age, actually. So he talks about those with grey hair, which is why I love getting greyer, because actually the Bible says that grey hair is a mark of wisdom. So I want more of it.
Baldness, the only baldness in the Bible mentioned is to do with, is ridicule, though.
So. Yeah.
Now, what do you make of that?
Dear brother, I can't. poor old Graham's getting a...
I think it's a general symbol of old age, I think, grey hair.
Indeed.
Not a particular mark.
Well, but I think it also, you know, what you see in the Bible as well, which is tying in what you were talking about a little bit earlier about the whole idea of identity with our work, is that actually we're still made in the image of God. That as I get older, I'm still made in the image of God, and my value is being made in his image, and as Christians, as those who are in Christ. And so, you know, those things don't change as I get older. And that's important. That's important for someone who is in their retirement to remember that I'm not defined by what I did or what I do. I'm defined by who I'm made by and who I'm in relationship with, Christ. And that's important for a younger person, because sometimes we can look at older generations and think, well, you know, at the harshest level, they are of no value, we're having to pay for them, you know. Or, you know, we just devalue what they have gone through or who they are and what they've done. And yet, actually, no, they're made in the image of God. They are those who are in Christ. And actually, they have huge amounts to offer, because the Bible says they have wisdom and glory and honour. And yet, the Bible also says, you know, Ecclesiastes, increasing weakness. So there's a frailty that goes with that. Now, one of the striking things that we preached on this a few years ago, but is that all of those things you see at the cross. You see wisdom and glory and honour and weakness all come together at the cross. So all those markers of older age are something that Christ himself revealed and demonstrated at the cross. So we want to esteem and value older people. I think it's worth just saying.
Yeah, I wonder what that looks like in church, because sometimes older people are holding things back, one might say.
Yep.
Sometimes. So, you know, how do you balance that? And if you just take it into the family, you know, I want to respect my parents, and if they're alive, my grandparents. But that doesn't mean to say that, you know, as a 30-year-old, say, that I'm always going to take their advice as being the thing I need to do, you know. And then in church life, you know, the leadership moves on. The older are supposed to be training the younger, and then the younger take on leadership roles, and the older particularly sort of beyond retirement age and not leading anymore. So I suppose it's difficult to work out how that plays out, that respect. That's not the same as we just have to do whatever they say.
Yeah, and there must be presumably, I'm always struck by the fact that in biblical times, obviously life expectancy was shorter.
Yeah.
Major events in life happened earlier on. So marriage, having children, being a leader in the church or otherwise. So what does that mean for now? Does it mean that you shouldn't be a leader until you're old relative to our society, like maybe 50, 60, 70, and then you're considered wise? Whereas in biblical times, actually, maybe you would have been in your 20s and you would have been considered middle-aged and, you know, a leader in the church. So how does that work?
Yeah, there's too many questions there.
There was a lot of questions.
Well, I think... Firstly, when we're talking about wisdom for older people, We're talking biblical wisdom, which is that of fearing God.
Yeah.
So it's growing in my fear and love of God. Now that plays out to the leader issue, because the leader issue, when the Bible talks about wisdom, is not about you've done the years. The wisdom issue is, are you fearing God, and is that demonstrated in a godliness that is worked out and marked out by the things described in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus? So I think in that sense, the markers in the Bible are never about you've clocked up the years. The markers in the Bible are always about fearing God, godliness, Christlikeness, character, fruit of the Spirit being demonstrated. And so in that would how it plays out in that sense.
So surely then that kind of wisdom that you've defined there isn't a given just because you've racked up the years.
No. Absolutely.
No. I think to just so I didn't get entirely lost, to answer my own question.
I was going to come back to that.
Were you?
But let's
kind of throw a few things out.
Yeah, go for it.
I think how we have to show respect, one is that you try and accommodate. So you try and take the older people's views into account in how you organise life and how you organise church. You know, you would do that in a family, like you would take so-and-so's wishes, you know, granny's wishes into account in how you arrange your Christmas meal or whatever, to think, okay, so, you know, I need to pick them up, or I need to make sure we don't have, you know, something that's going to upset them in some way. So you do all that in a local family, and you do that in a church as well, where you can accommodate. You know, and where you can't, you have to kind of say, well, I know this might be a little bit difficult, but, you know. So I think you do that. I think you listen in the sense of don't despise the wisdom that the old could have, and you listen and weigh. So you don't assume that it's rubbish because they're old. You don't assume that it's
gold
because they're old. You just assume likely to have some wisdom, and you need to listen to what they've got to say and weigh it. And I think the third thing you need to do is serve. So because it's a time of weakness, part of respecting and honouring is serving the old. So taking care of, visiting, making sure they're not isolated, all those kind of things. But obviously, it depends how far beyond retirement they are at that point. Were you going to say something else?
I think that's really helpful. I was just conscious that it's a podcast on retirement. We seem to be talking a lot more about older, how to be an older person. But I mean, in part, that is part of it, isn't it? Is that actually, I think, often, I think, with retirement as well, there can be a sense of I can ease off in the Christian life. And I think even as we get to retirement, and no matter how old I am, I think the scriptures call me to persevere in godliness. So I'm still fighting the battles of the flesh. I'm still putting to death sin. I'm still seeking to put on that which Christ has called me to put on. So there is a sense of I've still got to fight the battle every day. It's not a case of easing up. And I think that in retirement that can bring about problems, because in the work life you have routines. I think we all feel it in the holidays. You know, you're in your routine, suddenly you haven't got a routine. And so therefore the things like you're reading the Bible and praying suddenly go out the window, because there's no structure or the routine is much less, you know, defined each week. So I think you then got to, in one sense, battle harder. Now, I know a number of guys who are in their retirement, and actually what they've done is spent increasing time praying together as couples if they've married. You know, so they'll actually spend time reading the Bible. They'll be much more intentional about praying, not just for their family and for one another, but for the church family. So we had a very sweet couple in our last church who consciously prayed every morning for life of the church. You go around their house and on the fridge was just full of lists of people, and they would always be asking, particularly the church staff, you know, how can we pray for you? You know, they'd be very particular in praying through the small group, community groups, and praying for the life. So I think that retirement brings huge spiritual opportunity to grow continually in our spiritual life, but also to be prayerful and serving others in life. And I think one of the dangers of retirement is we buy the world's view, which is I've got to just give up rest. Whereas, as we were saying right at the beginning, the Bible doesn't speak of retirement. You don't see any of the Bible characters retiring. You know, you don't get the impression Paul said, "Well, I'm going to retire now," or Moses, "Well, I'm going to have some rest up. Hey, Josh, take over. I'm going to go and travel the promised land." He doesn't even get in the promise. You know, he dies having led the people all the way up, you know, and that's the picture. So it may be that I retire from the paid employment, but I don't retire from serving and living the Christian life. In other words, I should see it as, here is an opportunity to better serve my family and my church family. How can I do that? How am I going to use that time, rather than just see it as, how am I going to indulge myself doing all the things that I've always wanted to do, or rest? And we have some really good examples of that in the life of our church, who have just kind of thrown themselves into using their time to serve and further the kingdom and develop new ministries that actually we've not had in the life of the church. But suddenly these guys have the time. And we recognize as church there's a balance, because for some, they are caring for grandchildren, you know, and that is important. But I'd want to encourage, don't give all your time to that. You know, actually also reserve time for serving in the life of the church. And sometimes the argument comes, oh yeah, but our children are not believers. Okay, but actually, what are you saying to them? You're saying, actually, we still want to serve Christ, and we love him enough that actually we're prepared to carve out time each week to do that. And I, you know, how we use our retirement in this way is far more. And as I get frailer and weaker, I can still be meeting with people. I can still be encouraging. I can still have young people come round and talk with them. I can still organise Bible studies. Dear friend of ours was telling us of his father, who retired minister, you know, lives in a kind of a complex, and has a Bible study for folks around, and is evangelistic and just grown over the years. You know, you can still be doing and serving, not giving up and ceasing. Yeah. That's a little monologue by Mark. Yeah, it's
good. A monologue.
Yeah, we've both fallen asleep. Yeah, but no, now we're awake again.
Yeah, yeah. Just ground our eyes are looking a little bit.
I was reflecting on the family thing, because obviously I'm at a slightly different stage of life now. And I think with grandchildren, say, it's a really difficult balance. Not even difficult, it's a nice problem to have. But the extended family are really influential in development of children. You know, all studies would say that, and the Bible would expect that, because it's venerating the old. You know, I'm a grandparent, so I'm older than the parents of my grandchildren. So there's lots of input you can have, which is really helpful to your grandchildren, not just practical, but just spiritual and wisdom and character building and so on. So I think that is something to not prioritize, but to give weight to.
Absolutely.
And but it's in the same way that as a parent, you're balancing, okay, spending time with my children, developing my children, doing my paid work, serving in the church. I'm weighing up those things and seeing that there's value in each of those. So I think the danger is not so much should you or shouldn't you look after grandchildren. It's when you make that your main focus. And just occasionally, some families, particularly outside of the church, would say, you know, that's my main job. I love my grandchildren. You know, that's what I live for. And they would genuinely say that, you know, that they would, you know, order their lives around that. And I think that's when it becomes a not such helpful thing. And so I think you just got to make the same judgments in retirement that you're making in earlier parts of life, which is, I want to serve in the church. I want to serve my family. So I need to work out what that looks like and give priority to things.
And in that, I guess the extra dynamic is working out your energy levels.
Yeah.
Because, reality sets in. You can't do all that you did when you were 40 or 30. You know, so you're going to slow down.
That's right, I can, Mark.
And you can, sorry, or you do in your 50s. You know, you are going to slow down. That is part of the aging process. Yeah. So you're going to have to manage. If you're using all your energy up on caring for the grandchildren, and you've got nothing else to give, your balance is out of kilter.
Yeah, and it is true. I mean, in each decade, you're a little bit weaker, to be honest.
Yeah, my body's
physically, but not mentally.
No, mentally, you're stronger.
Sharp as a thistle.
I think you slow down as you get older, don't you? I mean, I think that's a later mentally.
Yeah,
you slow
down. It's different in different characters as well. It depends how you process, but yeah. And
what about an idea of how people, older people, can empower or encourage younger people? I'm thinking about harnessing their energy and their enthusiasm for stuff, and not that this is happening or coming from experience, but not squashing that or squashing innovation, but sort of harnessing it and feeding in their kind of wisdom from experience as well. Is there a way that advice on that or how that could be handled?
Yeah, I suppose it depends what... It depends if they're in a position of leadership, in which case they're not sort of... that they might be retired in work, but they might be in leadership in the church, so that then becomes a different dynamic because they're not retired. I think it's always a dilemma when you have the wisdom of age and someone comes along with an idea and you just know it's not a brilliant idea. It's finding ways of encouraging a different form of that rather than just saying, no, that's a stupid idea. Because there are some things, and it's not just because you're old and because you're against change. Sometimes you just look at things and you think, I've experienced exactly this model and it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And you know, it's hard then to not immediately just dismiss that, but just to say, well, that's a great concept. Let's run with it. And sometimes in leadership, you even, you know, as long as it's not kind of heretical or unkind to somebody, you let something go because you say, well, let's just see, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. So let's let them have a go. And it might fail actually and fizzle out, but just let them have a go at it because then they'll learn through the process. So sometimes I think you have to do that. I think the best thing, both whether you're in leadership or whether you're sort of post that, I think the best thing older people can do is actually just take an interest in people with people that are a bit younger than them at different stages. You know, people who are single, people who are married, people with young families. You know, stage, just take some interest. And again, there's some great examples in our church of people who do just take interest. You know, how's your week? What are you doing? What are you up to? You know, how's it going with the family? Or how's it going with your work? You know, what are your challenges? Anyone of any age can ask those kind of questions. Yeah.
One of the things is happens in our church is that the older people pray for the younger people, particularly during the exam seasons. They're paired up, so there is that. I think we're investing in teaching older men and older women how to draw alongside younger men and younger women because we want them to disciple and train and invest. Because actually, the Bible speaks of Titus 2 of the older training the younger, and we've got to be seeing that as a good and biblical example of allowing our older people to use their wisdom in godly ways. And if they're growing in godliness, then there will be a gentleness and a kindness and a warmth towards those who are younger to want to see them flourish and grow as well spiritually. So it works both ways. The younger have got a value, but the older, as they grow in godliness, in Christlikeness, will want to develop the younger and allow them to try and to spiritually in that way thrive.
We've got that bit in the eldership, really, that you know, we've recently appointed a couple of elders who are in their 30s, early 30s, and functionally it wasn't like it was desperate that we desperately needed two more elders because of the workload. It wasn't so much that. It was partly that, because it does spread the burden, but it's also you're also appointing people who are suitable for elders, but you're also appointing people who can then see modelled leadership and hopefully learn from that and then develop into that. Because you could just wait until you run out, you know, until, you know, a couple of us who are closer to retirement retire.
Yeah.
And then you've got a hole and you just fill it. But that's, I think, is not as good as bringing people in when they're suitable, but at the kind of an early stage, and then helping them to kind of grow and develop.
Yeah.
And I think in Christian service, in all kinds, whether you're in leadership or whether you just have a role in the church, knowing when to keep going and knowing when to stop is really helpful, and to graciously stop when you need to.
Like at this point in the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a minute. Any final thoughts?
I think the big thing is, isn't it, is whatever age, keep persevering in your godliness. Persevere to the end. Fight the good fight right to the very end. So don't give up. And don't make retirement into everything. If you're younger, plan, but don't make it into this is going to be the honeymoon. Heaven is still to come. We are saved for a new heaven and new earth.
Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of Ordinary. As we say every week, if you have questions or comments, then do email us, ordinary@cchh.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you. Come back next week for another new podcast. We're going to be talking about The Antidote, which is Lion of Judah's new EP, and that is being released on the 31st of January 2020. Shameless plug. So make sure you stream the EP on whatever player you prefer as of Friday the 31st, and then come back next week for another brand new episode of Ordinary.